Welcome to the Connect Kindness Podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness Podcast. In today's episode, we speak with Christopher Stubbs, the founder of Hair Without Borders.
Yes, Crystal. Today we had a great interview with Chris. He shares why he founded Hair Without Borders and also how a trip to Thailand really changed the direction of his organization. And he's doing great things to help other people. So without further ado, this is Chris Stubbs with Hair Without Borders.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness Podcast. Can you tell listeners a little bit more about Hair Without Borders and what needs you serve?
Of course. Well, thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, my name is Chris. I'm the founder of Hair Without Borders, and we started it about a year and a half ago in 2016, right after a trip that I had taken to Thailand, and more specifically, Chiang Mai. Our mission is to create and support opportunities for hairstylists to help those in need through education and service. So in plain English, the idea is to help hairdressers help other people. I realized a couple of years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, that I wanted to get more involved with my local community, but I knew there wasn't really much I had to offer in the way of money, right? I was a beginner stylist. And so all I had really was, my passion and my skill as a hairdresser. And so I wanted to know where I could go with my skills and where I could help. And so I started reaching out to different organizations, and I found out it's much harder to help than it really needs to be. There's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of barriers, just trying to offer free services. So then I realized, okay, well, maybe I need to go through some organization that's already established. And so then I started looking for someone that was doing what I already had in mind. And I spent years looking for someone, and I never really found anyone or any organizations that lined up with, what my mission was. I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll just eventually make my own. And so then I started kind of coming up with some formulas. I started seeing, what I needed to do and what I didn't want to do. Then I went to Thailand, to Chiang Mai, and then had just reached out to an orphanage saying, hey, I'm here on vacation, but I want to give back. Can I come and donate haircuts? And they were super cool. They said, yeah, come in, see you Tuesday at 10. And so went in, cut hair for 7 or 8 hours.
Wow.
And they told me that there was, one of the kids was interested in being a barber. So I was like, all right, bring him out here. He's going to be my assistant for the day. And so... So yeah, that's when I got to meet. His name is actually Chiang Mai, because that's where he was kind of dropped off. He's actually of Burmese descent. Yeah, they received Chiang Mai into the orphanage, and he was like 7 or 8. And so he was pretty much raised there. And this is in Thailand again. And so he's pretty much Thai, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they said that they had sent him to hair school there in Thailand. And when they found out that he was actually Burmese and not Thai, they kicked him out of the hair school.
That's crazy to think about.
That is.
Just because you're out of a different country, you're born in a different country, you now cannot do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty intense. And, obviously the same reaction you just had, everyone has that. But especially as a hairdresser, it's like someone telling you that you can't do what you want to do, it was really gut-wrenching. And so I told him, whenever I get home, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that you get to do hair. That's what happened when I got back. I had planned on waiting a couple of years for Hair Without Borders to start it, but I realized, I needed to get it going. And there was nothing out there doing what I wanted, so I'm just going to do it. Went ahead and, did the whole 501c3 process and knocked it out in like 6 or 7 months. Then we went back and with some other volunteers and some donor money, and we were pretty much able to support him with all the tools and education necessary there in the orphanage. And, he has like his own little tiny salon there in the orphanage now.
That is so cool.
So he can practice. It's super cool. Yeah, it's super, super cool. And so we got to help him out. And so we've made a big difference in one life so far. But, you know, we got some things in the works, some big things in the works, actually.
That is
so
amazing.
I'm sure we'll get to those.
Quick question. When you were going over to Thailand, was it in your intention to just give out haircuts, or were you really looking to, like, teach somebody the skill?
Well, I mean, honestly, when I went, it was more kind of a personal thing. So this was my second trip to Thailand. The first time was all personal. You know, I've been doing Muay Thai kickboxing for, at that point, like 7 or 8 years. And so I still do it, still very passionate about it. And so that's actually what had gotten me interested in Thailand and the culture. So yeah, I went, you know, did that, played with elephants, all the fun stuff, fell in love with Thailand, absolutely love it. And so then I went back again the next year. But when I went back, I knew this time that I wanted to do some kind of volunteer outreach or something. I wasn't really sure, but I brought my shears and a comb, and I think that might be it. And so I knew I wanted to do something. I just wasn't sure.
Sure.
So I have a friend there, and we actually called. It was right around Songkran, which is the New Year's water festival. So a lot of the places closed down. And so we ended up calling 7 or 8 places together. Most of the places were saying things like, no, we're sorry, we're closed for New Year's. Or none of the kids are here. They're all home. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, like, if you're an orphanage, then where are the kids?
Yeah, where are home?
When you're closed. Yeah, exactly. So that's why we knew it was the right fit when we called the Children's Shelter Foundation, and they said, yeah, see you here Tuesday at 10. I mean, it was like, I would never talk bad about any other orphanage, you know, but there are sometimes stigmas around some orphanages in developing countries like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the intentions aren't 100% in line with what they claim to be.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew that this was a right fit. And, you know, we knew that the kids would be there, and we knew that these kids were living here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, we knew these are the people that we wanted to help.
Chris, what I love about your story is you had this calling, you had this need, this fulfilling that you wanted, but you didn't know how to do it. So you started looking around, and there's nothing really that you feel like is going to fulfill that. And then you just created on your own.
You figured it out.
Help. You're just like, I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And what advice, like going through that entire process and being fairly, you know, new organization, going through that process, what advice would you give to someone that wants to start a nonprofit or just wants to just make a difference?
Just do it, you know, Nike. Get out there and do it. Like the hair industry and all that, it's a pretty niche thing. Teaching or serving as a hairdresser, there's not going to be a lot of calling for that, but it wasn't there. So I knew I had to make it. So if someone else is in a similar situation where it's such a small niche thing that they want to operate with and they can't find anyone else to operate with, then it's like, you know, just do it yourself. It's kind of daunting, all the paperwork and the filing and this and that, but honestly, it's not that hard. And if you're diligent and you have a little bit of willpower, you know, you can stick through it and you can do it if you believe in it enough. But yeah, I would say just do it. And the biggest support system that I've had, you know, whenever I'm feeling down or whenever I'm feeling demotivated, when I hit a wall or something like that, is just talking to those around me, because I've been able to utilize my network system, which is my client. So I've really been blessed. It's such a good career to have, because my network system is huge because of my clients, and they've been so incredibly supportive. You know, I'm talking all day, every day, and I'm hearing so much feedback and, you know, so many different perspectives and so many different tips from them. That's probably how I've gotten everything done in, you know, such a short amount of time. But also, that's pretty much how all the connections I've made with all the other organizations we've worked with have been through my clients. I would just say utilizing your network and talking about it as much as possible. That's my biggest tip.
For sure. And, you know, you said just do it, which I believe 100%. But also what you did, which I think is awesome, is that you listened. And you said, like, you were telling your people, but you were listening to their feedback, which is so important with a new organization, is really listening and learning. So bravo to you on that. That's awesome. For hairdressers listening, how can they get involved with Hair Without Borders?
Well, it's super easy for any hairdressers wanting to get involved, or even non-hairdressers, because, you know, I don't discriminate against the normal people. You can go on hairwithoutborders.org, and then you can go to the Be the Change link and sign up, email list. And like I said, that's hairdressers or non-hairdressers. And anyone really that wants to come on a trip with us is invited. You know, there might be a little bit of a vetting process to make sure everything's in line. But, you know, the biggest goal we have is getting people out there and involved with the communities that we want to help. And so, yeah, you can go on hairwithoutborders.org, or you can go to Facebook or Instagram, Hair Without Borders.
Awesome. And just curious, what is the typical cost for a trip for someone that's going to travel overseas with you, approximately?
You know, as you know, it'll depend. But what I like to do is I'm a super travel nerd. So, you know, I follow all the travel gurus online. So I like to wait for the cheapest part of the season to go, which isn't always the most pleasant time to go.
Sure.
It usually ends up being a really hot time to go. But it's also the cheapest, and you don't have as much of the crowds to deal with. I like to go, you know, around some kind of big cultural event as well. So, like, around Songkran in Thailand, and then the rest of the countries in that area all kind of have a similar New Year schedule. And so I think it's really important to share the cultural activities that you're going to with the people that are going to be volunteering. And so I try and incorporate that, but luckily it's kind of cheap to travel around that time as well. And I also instruct everyone that's volunteering, you know, we'll do like a little group message for them. I'll also give all of my travel tips and pointers, you know, how to get the most cost-effective trip booked. And so, you know, I'll point them towards, you know, using credit card miles. So the last two times I've gone, I've used my credit card points. And so the flights have been completely free. And I mean, sometimes those flights can be up to $1,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always book, and I'm coming from Atlanta, which, you know, getting to Southeast Asia from Atlanta isn't geographically the best place, but I'll book, instead of out of Atlanta, I'll book out of LAX. And so all the flights from LAX to Asia are, you know, at least a couple hundred dollars cheaper. And so I can save a couple hundred bucks and then just fly to LAX, that's separate, and then LAX to Southeast Asia. Yeah, it ends up costing, if it were in cash, $600 to $800 in dollars. But when you book, and then depending on what programs that you book through, it ends up being maybe 50 to 60,000 sky miles or whatever. 50 to 60,000 sky miles, that's not a lot.
Yeah, very affordable.
So the flight you can knock out pretty cheap. And then once you're there, obviously very, very cheap to live. I like to stay in the cheapest accommodations possible, which sometimes are dingy hostels. But this last time I found an amazing deal at an Airbnb, and I had my own private condo there in Chiang Mai, and it was $16 a night. So,
that's
yeah.
A steal.
That is a steal for sure.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going for, you got to go for at least a couple weeks, right? You don't want to mess up your sleeping schedule just for a week. So, I'd say 2 weeks minimum, you know, plan on maybe $500 a week. So, $1,000 bucks, not including flight. but $1,000 and you're good to go, I'd say.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I actually went to Thailand with my family a few years back, and it was very inexpensive for a family of four. So if you're doing a solo trip, or you and someone else, you know, one of your friends is a hairdresser and you guys are going to be joining Chris, then that is definitely a realistic number. Flights will probably be the most expensive thing that you're going to pay for, but it's a worthy cause. You guys are going to be helping many people out there, so I think it would be awesome. Yeah. What's your focus for 2019, but also, like, where do you see this organization growing?
Yeah, I have no idea what it's going to become. I have a lot of big hopes and dreams, of course, but just taking it a step at a time and getting more people involved, that's my real focus right now. I want to get as many hairdressers out there and involved with these people as possible, because I think the human-to-human connection is what's most important. And I know for a fact, if I can get people out and helping other people on the ground, that when they come back, that they'll be able to relate, you know, all those stories back to their clients, back to their friends, back to their family. And I know that they'll do the networking and marketing for me, you know, because I don't want to spend money on marketing. You know, I want all the money that we bring in, I want it to go directly to the cause, you know, and I don't want there to be any overhead. So any money we get, I mean, I want it to be like 90% to the cause. And so, yeah, I want to utilize, and I actually had a conversation with Kimberly Michelle about this, is I want the hairdressers utilizing their network in their chair. Mm-hmm. And because that's how everything has gotten done, by word of mouth.
Absolutely.
So yeah, sorry. The goal is getting more people involved, more hairdressers out there on these trips, bringing up awareness. And then our focus has kind of shifted from Chiang Mai, which we've pretty much got him on a path to be what he wants to be. And it's going to take some time for him because of, you know, the legalities of foreigners working in Thailand as hairdressers. So he's in a couple of years, he's going to get his Thai ID card, and then he'll be able to go down that path much easier. We've got him on his path, shifted focus to a girl that we're trying to help in Cambodia. Her story is truly awe-inspiring for anyone. It tends to be a common story for young women in places like that. It's definitely not out of the ordinary, but for anyone here or in a developed nation, any Western civilization, her story, it's something that would bring tears to anyone. And so I want to share her story. And she's told me also that she wants to share her story, while at the same time promoting her as a future stylist. And so we pretty much did the same thing for her as we did with Chiang Mai. With donor money, I got her all the tools and equipment she needed to start practicing hair when I went and taught there in her little village. We'll be going back in a couple of months now, and I'm going to try and make a documentary about her and her story.
Very cool.
And then, yeah, yeah. So those are the big focuses for 2019.
That's awesome. So focused on Thailand, and then you said you also went to Cambodia. Are there any other countries that you're looking to branch out to or to impact?
You know, I want to branch out to anywhere that needs it, you know, mm-hmm. all over the world, for sure. That's the idea. Any developing nation, anywhere that needs it, that's kind of our focus. And, of course, you know, going somewhere that's safe for us and our volunteers, that's a big concern, because I've had to call off a trip just because, you know, I wasn't 100% confident that everyone would be completely safe, or as safe as they could be.
Sure.
And so, you know, that's a big priority for me, is everyone's safety. Did also on this last trip, we went, our third and final stop was in Indonesia, in Bali, and we were working with an organization, an affiliate of She Is Safe, which is based out of Georgia. But we were working with Garasa, Indonesia, and a lot of these women, they had come from exploited backgrounds or domestic abuse, or even, you know, some just, they hadn't had the opportunities that we've had. and, you know, maybe they were kind of down on their luck. I found out through them, through a client.
Wow.
And so went there, you know, a lot of interesting stories, but I won't digress. But, you know, we went there and we got to teach some of these women. Frankly, one of the women, she was in a brothel the night before.
Oh,
and
man.
She came in late to class because she was out till like 4 a.m. just trying to provide an alternative income source for some of the women like that.
So, you know, when you go to, say, like Cambodia as well as Indonesia, are you looking for that, like that one person that you said, the girl that you're going to do the documentary on? Are you trying to find people like that to really form that connection that you can then have a long-term impact?
Yeah, 100%. One of the biggest goals I have for, say, Chiang Mai and Plum, that's the girl in Cambodia, is I want to go in, I want to help them, you know, succeed as much as possible. And then I want to make them an ambassador for Hair Without Borders. And so that way, when we come back, you know, each trip we come back, they'll be able to come with us as translators. And, you know, we can build them up within their own communities, help them help others in the future. That's the long-term goal.
That's very smart.
You're planting a seed of, like, inspiration and confidence and giving them this new opportunity, like you said. And I think that's a brilliant idea, and I think that's a brilliant way to go ahead and expand Hair Without Borders. And like you said, it's all about networking. It's about who you know, and these people know all these people in this village, and now they can go ahead and teach
right.
them things with you not even being there
exactly.
because you're talking to them.
Work can be done while you're
exactly.
while you're here. Yeah.
Exactly. That makes total sense. I do have a question with,
right.
are you guys bringing supplies? Is that something that people can donate to you? Is not only with money, but they can donate hair supplies, combs, brushes, things like that. Do you need those kind of things?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, the first time I went, I did go to an organization. You know, this is when I was kind of in the formative stages, when I was trying to find organizations, like I had mentioned, that were doing what I wanted to do. I brought a whole kit from, you know, I'll go ahead and say their name, TG. They had donated this really, really nice, it was a travel bag. And so, yeah, it was a duffel bag with wheels. And we stuffed it packed full of tools like brushes and combs and this and that and products. And so we brought it to a salon in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. You know, we were able to pass that on and give it to them. And so I realized traveling with a big bag full of stuff, especially in a third world country. I mean, half the time we were riding around in a tuk-tuk and it was picking up a seat. And so it was hard, but I definitely believe the payoff is worth it. And so what I did for this last trip for 2018 was, instead of, you know, buying a whole bunch of stuff here, as I'm sure you're very aware of, if you buy it here, of course, it's going to be a little more expensive. And so the dollar goes a lot further in these places. I figured instead of buying it or bringing it all with us on the plane, what we can do is once we get there, we take the donor money and then we buy all the tools that we'll need for the supplies for the class or whatever. We buy it there. And of course, all of that, you know, all that money goes so much further. So we were able to supply, you know, pretty much everything, say Plum would need with her own little shop. We put it inside of the art building they have for their little school. And so pretty much gave her a little salon for a couple of $100.
Wow.
Where, yeah, where, you know, all that stuff would have been about $1,000 if we had bought it here or, you know, tried to bring it. It's just, it's a lot of bulk to try and travel with. And of course, I also wanted to get them stuff that if it breaks or they run out of it or whatever, then they know that they can go back and they can get the same product there in whatever their city is.
That's amazing. And it's smart. You're just learning as you go and like, hey, it's better for us to go ahead and buy these things out here. It's going to last us longer. For, like, I know you mentioned it before, but how can listeners get in touch with you? How can they donate? How can they get involved? Even if they're not a hairdresser, what are the your website, yeah. social media, all that good stuff again? And what's the next big
everything,
event coming up?
Yeah, it's everything Hair Without Borders. Hairwithoutborders.org is the website. Everything else pretty self-explanatory. And then, you know, just add on Instagram or follow or whatever on Facebook. And then if you're interested in getting involved in a trip, I would say the best thing to do is to do all of that, of course. You know, I try as much as I can to update everyone on everything, but it does get a little overwhelming because we are pretty small. And so when I do announce a big trip or some kind of event that we have going on, the email list will be the first to know about it. So that's, again, on the website, hairwithoutborders.org. Go to Be the Change link and sign up and fill out, you know, it's a tiny little questionnaire, but I promise I am not filling up someone's inbox.
No spam, right?
Right, yeah. I'm not filling it up, I promise. At most, it'll be once a month kind of thing. And so I'd say sign up for that. But yeah, I'm going to be sending out really soon, as soon as I have the date down pat, I'll send it out for the next Southeast Asia Volunteer Tour 2019. And so that'll probably be Chiang Mai, North Thailand, which anyone that knows Thailand will know Chiang Mai. It's one of the most beautiful places on earth. It's my personal happy place. And so we'll go there. And then probably take it up to Chiang Rai, which is not too far. And then, you know, everyone's familiar with the White Temple in Thailand. And so that's where the White Temple is. I try and make sure we get to do all these cool cultural touristy things and have fun with the trip. So that's a real big focus for kind of my marketing and branding. But of course, we're also going to be helping, I believe it's another orphanage. They're close to the border in Maasai, which is actually where a lot of those kids, or where some of those kids were stuck in that cave last
wow.
year. It'll be that same area. There's an orphanage of some Burmese kind of refugees. And so we'll be stopping in. And they had asked for us to come, saying that they had expressed some interest in learning hairdressing. So, yeah. So it'll be Chiang Rai. And then the rest of the trip will be devoted in getting that documentary done for Plum in Cambodia.
That is awesome. Chris, congratulations, man. You know, in just a short time, you're already impacting quite a few people. And for listeners who want to get involved, please reach out to Chris, visit on his website. You know, Chris, thank you so much for being a part of the Connect Kindness podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we did reach out to him on Instagram, and he did respond back immediately. So, you know, this man is on top of it, and he can be reached. And we're talking about a founder of an organization. That is huge, too, when you're talking about joining something and hearing about the passion and things that come along and what you want to do and the vision. You want to hear it from the founder itself. So he's a great contact to get in touch with.
Well, no, thank you all so much. What y'all have going on is such an important, integral part of this whole process. Like I said, the biggest issue I have is just raising awareness, and this is exactly what y'all are doing. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.